Hello and welcome to Beyond a Sale Real Estate Mastery, where we help you elevate your real estate business. My name is Tom Dool.
And I'm Chris Fenton.
Welcome again, Chris. So we've been talking about some things over the last couple episodes about what you need to be successful as a real estate agent in the business. Today I want to concentrate on mindset. So as an individual agent, what fundamental mindset shift do you believe is essential for a new real estate agent entering into today's market?
Well, that's a good question. I think there's sort of two different parts to that question, or that's the way I read it, is what is the mindset for a new agent and what's the new mindset for an agent in today's market, in the shift we're seeing in today's market? Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing for new agents is I think most real estate agents come into this thinking that this is about houses and showing houses and meeting people and getting them to find the right house. And they kind of have a glamorous idea of what it's about. Real estate is about finding people to work with. That is game number one. So the biggest mindset shift for a new agent is, how are you going to find the people you're going to work with consistently? What consistent action can you take week after week after week that's going to fill you your pipeline, if you will, with new people to work with? In terms of working in this market, what I take from that is that we're in a market that is softening. Things are selling more slowly. Prices are either flat, going down, nothing's really rising right now. Mindset shifts for that is really service, like service over product. So what I mean by that is, find a way to be a really good real estate advisor, to build relationships with people. Yeah. It's going to serve you well in all markets. It's less about finding people a house or showing houses and more about understanding what they're looking for and helping them on the journey.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How can an agent effectively set and achieve their personal and professional goals in real estate?
Yeah, goal setting is such an important thing and such a huge mindset thing. Now, for setting goals, I guess what I would talk about is, you want to set them from big to small. That's the way I see it. Mm-hmm. So what is it you want to accomplish in 5 years?
Yeah.
You know, but let's just talk about 1 year, because 5 years is a little bit complicated. Let's talk about 1 year. What do I want to accomplish this year? The big question is, how much money do I want to make, right? And then breaking that down into how many deals I need to do, breaking those deals down into how many appointments do I need to go on, how many people do I need to meet, because you have collapse rate. Every deal you put together isn't going to stay together. Yeah. Everybody you show houses to isn't going to buy.
And what the average commission is based on whatever area you're covering.
Totally.
And
So what top line is, this is how much I want to make. Divide it by the average commission. This is how many deals I need to do in a year. How many appointments do I need to go on? Sorry, how many offers I need to write? I would say a collapse rate for a new agent of maybe 20 to 30% is probably pretty common. Mm-hmm. So increasing that number of sales up to a larger number, multiplying it by, I guess, 1.25 to come up with your number of offers you need to write. How many appointments do you need to go on? The way we do appointments is, we say that a new agent needs to show eight showings. And what we call showings is going out with somebody to look at a grouping of houses. So if I show a client one house, that's a showing. If I show a client four houses, that's a showing. If I show the same client four houses twice that week, that's two showings, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So for new agents, it's about eight showings for every accepted offer. Mm-hmm. So now we need to know how many showings we need to go on. And then we've got that number. We divide that into how many weeks we're going to work. And now we've got a weekly goal. We've taken this big money goal and we've broken it down to, how many showings do I need to do this week to meet that goal? And then the next question becomes, how am I going to meet enough people to go on these showings?
Yeah.
And then you create a budget and a plan to attract enough people.
And also put in if you're going to take time away, right? So that does affect as well.
Which you should.
Yeah. If you're taking, a month away or a month and a half away throughout the whole year, you got to.
Yeah. So when I say how many weeks you're working, I don't mean 52 weeks in a year. I mean, 48 weeks in a year, 46 weeks in a year, whatever you're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you share a strategy for maintaining resilience and positivity in the face of the market volatility and with rejection?
So with rejection, my best advice to people is, don't let it never end whatever you're doing, whatever activity you're on with rejection. So what I mean by that is, if you're calling prospects and it doesn't go well, don't make that your last call. Get on the phone again, make another call. If you're knocking on doors and someone's rude to you, do not end the day that way. It's every activity you do with a good feeling.
Yeah.
So that would be one thing. I think having time to yourself to work through the ups and downs of real estate, to work through the ups and downs of life, like literally having something that grounds you every single day, having someone to talk to about your problems other than, you know, it could be your spouse, your priest, your counselor, whatever, mm-hmm. right? Because this is a tough job. It's when you're working with people all the time,
yeah,
it gets to you. And then again, I would say surrounding yourself with really good people. And that's why I love working in a team or a group environment, is surrounding yourself with good people that can, that know what you've been through, so you're not going through it alone.
Absolutely, absolutely. And how important is it for continuous education and continuous learning and adaptability within your real estate business?
I think if you're watching this, you probably already have that mindset. How important is it? It's critical. If you want to be successful, you better learn how to adapt and how to grow and how to learn new things. Real estate, I've been doing this 20 years. Real estate is fundamentally exactly the same as it was 20 years ago and fundamentally entirely different. And what I mean by that is we're still a belly-to-belly business. We're still... Mm-hmm. It's still about people and relationships and conversations and listening and understanding, but it's also very different. The tools we use, the way people consume information, what people expect from real estate agents changes mm-hmm. all the time. So if you're not learning, you're going backwards, and that's all there is to it. And that's what you see routinely with older agents as they hit the last 10 years of their career. The vast majority of the time, these prolific real estate agents start to sort of fade off, and that's just a change thing. The world changes, And you know, at that point in your life, you tend to be less open to change or wanting yeah. to adapt or motivated to adapt.
And with your experience, what are some of the mental barriers or agents facing to overcome that?
To overcome their
full potential, like to the barriers that it make for why yeah. they can't move forward.
Negative mindset. So I think negativity is so prevalent in our society. I think that if you look at 100 people on the street, a lot of them tend to look at things like poor me or why did this, a bit of a victim mindset. I think we get too much bad news on the TV, too much mm-hmm. bad news on the internet, and it tends to affect us. We're overwhelmed with just stimulus out there. You know, you're on Facebook and you're seeing 1,000 ads, or you're on Instagram, or you're on TikTok. So overcoming that is really about having something that grounds you, that keeps you true to who you are. So I'm a big believer in morning routines. I'm a huge believer in, you know, practicing gratitude with yourself. What am I grateful for? What am mm-hmm. I happy for? Resetting your mind, because it's the human mind gets to itself. It's sort of spins and gets itself negative, and having a way to ground yourself, reset that, critically important. And I think that's the biggest thing that stands in not just agents' ways, but everyone's way for being successful.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking about the individual agent. Let's talk about in a team setting. How does the mindset of an individual team member contribute to the overall success of a real estate team?
Oh, it's everything. I mean, what is the mindset of a group? The mindset of a group is the collective mindset of everybody yeah. included. If yeah. you have six people that have a really positive attitude and somebody's in a funk and mm-hmm. They're coming into the office in a funk, which happens, of course, it absolutely happens in a group dynamic, that funk can spread through that team so quickly. So it's really important that everybody shares the same mindset, shares the same culture, and that the people that are doing well recognize that this person is struggling.
Yeah.
What can we do to raise them up? What can we do to help them? Mm-hmm. Super, super important.
And can you discuss the importance of shared vision and goals in creating a cohesive team environment?
Yeah, shared vision. I think this took me, I'm still working on this. I think this is one that's really important as a team leader. People want to join a team for a lot of reasons, but one of the major reasons is that they want something bigger than themselves to belong to. Mm-hmm. And you as the leader are going to be setting that vision. And if you're not communicating that vision to people, or they're not buying into that vision, it starts to become a disconnect. Mm-hmm. And now it's a bunch of individuals pursuing their own individual purposes. And that's never going to lead anywhere good. So a team leader has must communicate that vision, and must have a vision that meets everyone's needs or everyone can buy into.
Yeah.
And some of that is culture. Not everyone's going to buy into every vision. Yeah. And some of that is the team leader doing a good job of articulating that vision. You can overshare a vision, you can undershare a vision, right? Mm-hmm. It's a balancing act.
Mm-hmm. So how can, you talked about the culture and you talked about as being a leader. So how can a leader foster that culture and develop trust within the team itself?
Well, so trust is hard to build and easy to break. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to build it and it takes a moment to shatter it. So, I mean, building culture is, I think, primarily about finding the people that fit the culture. I don't know that you can just take anybody and have them fit into your culture. Mm-hmm. You better be on the lookout. You better have good screening techniques, but good recruiting techniques, good onboarding techniques to find out who fits the culture and who doesn't. And then it takes 6 months to a year for somebody to really start to fully understand the culture. What was the second part of that question? There was two parts to it.
For building trust and mutual respect among the other team members.
Trust and mutual respect. So the trust and mutual respect part has everything to do with looking after everyone else's best interest ahead mm-hmm. of your own. Mm-hmm. When you are seen to be looking after your own best interest, even if it's not real, even if it's just perceived, that can erode trust pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is integrity. Following through on what you say. Do what you say. Say what you mean. Do what you say. All of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a challenge for team leaders because we entrepreneurs and team leaders tend to be creative and want to go in a bunch of different directions and sometimes can try too many things and go in too many directions and then not follow through with them properly. So really being aware of that is critically important. And then lastly, and most importantly, is listening to people. And this is something that I struggle with and I'm continuing to learn is asking people for their feedback. Maybe you don't use that feedback. Maybe you don't act on it, but having them participate in telling you what they want for the group, what they think of what you're doing, making sure people are heard so that they can buy in to what you're doing.
Absolutely. So for balancing a healthy competition and collaboration within a team to drive a collective success.
Yeah, I love that question. A lot of different points of view on this. There are companies that have a very highly competitive culture. We started out that way. That was probably fundamentally who I am. I'm extraordinarily competitive. Mm-hmm. And we would work towards making sure team goals or individual goals were reported in a group. And I fostered an atmosphere of competition. And that works for some people and doesn't work for other people. It's going to work more for people that are high performance, really hard driving. You want to be careful of what you want. What's the culture you want? Do you want a whole bunch of hard drivers out there talking to the clients? Over time, I realized it's not really who we want, what we want mm-hmm. here for us. So, but I think it is a balancing act. Some people are more competitive than others. So we have a group of, I don't know how many there is of us, 8 to 10. And some of us are very competitive and some of us aren't. So the competitive people will become competitive quite naturally on their own. Mm-hmm. So for us, we do our team goals still on the board. We all go through it every Monday. What was our goal? Did we hit our goal? Nothing needs to be said for the competitive people. They're mm-hmm. already going, damn, that person beat me. Like, you know, and that's what motivates them. But somebody else might not be motivated by that. So you want to be careful not to make a bigger deal of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What role does emotional and intelligence play in enhancing team dynamic and performance within the real estate industry?
Emotional intelligence is everything in real estate. It is everything in sales. It's everything in team dynamics. I sort of just talked about it. I just talked about how different people have different aptitudes or different mm-hmm. feelings on competition. Knowing that and paying attention to what drives people and then giving them what they need. I mean, even if you talk about compensation structure, you can go and say two people in the same job might need a different compensation structure. I'm not saying it shouldn't be fair, mm-hmm. but one person might need to be more heavily bonused and the other person might need more stability. You still want them to be on par in terms of pay if they're working on par, mm-hmm. but you need that emotional intelligence to know what people need and put them in a position to give them what they need because people are going to perform best when they're comfortable, a little uncomfortable, but comfortable.
Yeah. As a leader in a real estate, how do you cultivate a winning mindset within your organization or team, especially during challenging times?
It's tricky during challenging times. So winning mindset. We've been top 1% in the country for 7 years in a row, and we've had a number of iterations of this group in that time. So the people change, but the winning mindset doesn't change. How do we accomplish that? I think it starts with, it's all about culture. It's all about who we are. Like, when you join us, we're really clear about what we're trying to accomplish, what our goal is, and how we go about that goal. And that holds true. But when times get tough and you have your downs, it becomes more challenging. And at that point, it's really about individual coaching with people.
And celebrating wins. It's very, totally. Very important to celebrate wins, especially totally. When there isn't very many of them to be had.
Totally. Totally. Right. Very good point.
Yeah. What are the key characteristics of a leader who successfully inspires and motivates their team to achieve their goals?
Key characteristics of a leader. I think that we never feel good enough, leaders. Mm-hmm. I think that's a strange answer, but I think that that's a really truthful answer. I think that leaders never feel like they always have a little bit of imposter syndrome where they feel like why are these people following me? Mm-hmm. So I think that's important because that keeps you humble. You know, you may not act humble, but you are humble. Mm-hmm. So that's important. I think wanting what's best for other people. You're not going to lead people very far if you don't want what's best for them.
Yeah.
Vision. I think vision is super important. I think trust is so much more important than vision, but vision is important for leaders, and every leader has vision. They know where they want to go and how they want to get there. But trust and integrity has to be at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How do you manage your own mindset and well-being to effectively lead and support your team?
Very, very, very disciplined and very consistent. I handle my mental and my physical well-being are interconnected, as are yours. Mm-hmm. So I manage both of those on a daily basis. I have a morning routine and an evening routine that I follow strictly. Whenever I go even slightly off that routine, I get up one morning a little bit late and I skip something, everything seems to unravel on me and it doesn't take long. So for me, move my body every day, eat and drink lots of water and eat healthy every day. I meditate every day, and that's taking care of my mind and watching my mind and learning how it works so that when adversity strikes, I know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And also so that when adversity strikes, I can calm myself back down quicker. So I would say those are the three things that I do. And in that meditation, there's gratitude. Mm-hmm. There's like recentering on what's important, what's not important. Anytime I feel out of sorts and I wake up feeling not good, mm-hmm. I go into a meditation and I go through a certain sequence of directed thought and I come out of it back to a baseline. Mm-hmm. And it's critically important.
So basically what you're saying, you know, look after your mental health as well. So you can...
Most important thing in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And especially for men, it's the most... it's true for everybody. I shouldn't say especially for men. I guess I just said that because that's my perspective. We don't talk about mental health very much, men. Mm-hmm. I do, but most men don't. And I think Westerners, we don't think about mental health nearly as much as some of the Eastern cultures. Yeah. So, yeah.
And it's very important for a leader to have good mental health if they're going to be leading others and inspiring them and totally. Motivating them. Can you share some examples of how you've navigated change or adversity within your team, organization, and maintain a positive growth-oriented mindset?
Awesome. Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to go with when people leave. When people leave, it's difficult. Sometimes people leave because I made the decision that they're going to leave, or we made the decision that they're going to leave. Ultimately, it lands on me. But and sometimes people leave on their own side. Mm-hmm. And that scares people. It shakes things up. If it's something that I've instigated, then people start to wonder if they're safe. If it's something the other person instigated, then people start to wonder, you know, is this something I want to be part of? How do you manage that? Well, for me, it's about really, again, grounding myself, getting really clear on what we're here for, what the mission is, remembering that if everybody left tomorrow, we'd still move forward. We'd still mm-hmm. figure out a new way to keep moving forward. And then moving forward and showing people that we're moving forward, you know, and we're moving forward in a direction that actually makes sense. So analyze with emotional intelligence, recognize what people are feeling, make a plan, and then show them that you're moving forward with that execution.
Okay. So in closing, we're running out of time here. So what advice would you give an aspiring leader in real estate on developing the mindset necessary for leadership and success?
Figure out who you are and what your values are. You can't do anything until you're really clear on why you're doing it and what's important to you. Figure it out. Like, are you hard charging? Are you here to help people? What is it that gets you up in the morning? What is it that makes you want to be a leader? Get really, really clear on that and never lose sight of that. No matter what happens around you, always move forward being authentic with who you are. And then the other thing I would say is go find a mentor.
Yeah.
Go find a mentor.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, Chris. We're running out of time now. So we look forward to you guys tuning in next time. Have a great day.